Hey, what else up?
So, actually, so Commissioner Ryan, you are the vice chair?
I am.
So maybe we should probably have you do it then, huh? Unless you don't want to.
No, I don't want you. Happy to do it. Sounds good. Sorry.
I've done this before.
I know. All right, are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we'll call the meeting to order at 11:05. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Nicole Coburn?
Here.
Sarah Ryan?
Here.
Emily Chung? Donnie Thol?
Here.
Natalie Manning? Jose Garcia?
Here.
Michelle Templeton?
Here.
Stephen Walpole?
Here.
And Dee Baldwin for Dan Freitas?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, great. 2.0 introductions. Do we have any new introductions we need to make?
Well, we do have Michelle Templeton was here as a guest last time. Thank you for being here. Hi, Michelle.
All right, welcome, Michelle. All right, moving on. Any considerations for late additions or changes to the agenda?
I just have a couple of items. One is that the slides for the oral, for the general manager's oral report have been updated. I will add those to the packet that's at the animal shelter website, and they are included in the printed version of the packet today. Also, I just wanted to advise everyone that in the printed packet that I provided today, I didn't print out absolutely everything. I did not print the entirety of the audit of the animal shelter, and I did not print the copy of the fee schedule for the cities, because the fee schedule is identical and there are no changes to it. It's identical to the counties, and there's just one change to the county fee schedule, so I didn't bother to print that fee schedule. If anybody would like the full copy of that, absolutely available upon request.
Okay, thank you. All right, we will move on to oral communications. Any person that may address the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter Board of Directors during the oral communication period. All oral communication should be directed to items or issues that would be within the jurisdiction of the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter, but not on today's agenda. Board members will not take actions or respond immediately to oral communications presented, but may choose to follow up at a later time, either individually or on a subsequent agenda. Any oral comments from the public? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Thank you. Thought I could control it, I guess I can't.
Sorry, that's a screen only.
All right. So consent agenda items 5.1 through 5.8. Everyone has had a chance to review or a motion to move the consent items.
I'll move the consent agenda and just note that really good to see all of the animals being served at the clinics for the spay and neuter event. It's something that is greatly needed in our community, so it's good to see over 200 at the May event, or almost 200.
Great. All right, so we have a first a motion for the consent agenda items. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Do you want to go to public comment?
Oh, public comment. Do you have any public comments on consent agenda items 5.1 through 5.8? Seeing none? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Moving on to the regular agenda items, the general manager's report. Yeah.
Thank you. If we could switch over to slides, that would be great.
Oops, did it the wrong way. Bear with me a moment. We've got it.
Amber, are we still in kitten season?
We are just beginning kitten season.
You need to talk about that?
Yes, a little bit.
One more moment. There we go.
Okay. So just a brief summary of things that have been going on in April and May of 2025. One of the big highlights is that shelter veterinarian Dr. Bren White and clinic supervisor Leanne Cronquist spent a day at the Exotic Pet Hospital, and they relearned how to do spay-neuter surgeries on rabbits. They both had done them previously, but they are very complicated and very delicate. So under the guidance of Dr. Stern, they relearned how to do rabbit surgeries using the special precautions and techniques that are needed. And then they came back to the shelter and developed the guidance to do in-house spay-neuters of rabbits. We won't be able to do every rabbit, but we should be able to do most of the rabbits in-house, which will be a considerable savings since a spay of a rabbit currently costs over $400. And that's even with the shelter price reductions. And there's lots of coordination that's also required for rabbit spay neuters. So that was a big accomplishment. I'm really excited that we were able to get that done because it'll save thousands of dollars each year. In addition to arranging numerous fundraising events and committing to sponsor adoption fees for long-stay animals, the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter Foundation organized and hosted a wonderful volunteer appreciation and open house event in April that resulted in several new volunteers signing on board, and mostly it was just a wonderful event recognizing the amazing work of our volunteers. The foundation also connected with BLM rangers, who invited the volunteers and shelter dogs for a memorable guided hike through the new Petone Dairies National Monument during May. Another hike is planned for July, and that was a great experience for both the dogs and a lot of our committed volunteers that walk the dogs regularly, so they got to go to a brand new national monument and explore. We'll go ahead and next. So with an overview of statistics, we took in a total of 1,079 live non-wild animals in April and May. That's 410 more animals than in February and March. That is your kitten season right there, Chief Ryan. Kitten season's definitely upon us. Our intakes also included one horse, that's Buddy in the picture there, who should be leaving this week with his relatives of his deceased owner. Our adoption rate was actually 9% higher than it was last year during this period. I credit our new interested party process with a lot of that. So that's great. That meant we did 62 more adoptions than we did during April and May of last year. We also had 22 more transfers than last year, which is great because we had some reduction in our transfer capacity last year, and so it's nice to see that coming back a little bit. Our overall euthanasia rate went up just slightly from 10% to 12.9%. This is a typical occurrence at this time of the year as the kitten season starts to ramp up because we have increased intakes of sick and underage kittens at the shelter that we cannot support. Bissell partially subsidized adoptions May 1st through the 15th for another one of their Empty the Shelter events, and that helped us get 94 pets adopted. Our in-shelter clinic performed 310 spays and neuters during the period. That's 264 shelter animals and 46 publicly owned animals. So when we do publicly owned animals, that's because they've either been impounded and they want to take them back, but they want them to be spayed or neutered, or those are very low income folks who are needing free or heavily subsidized spay neuter surgeries. Included in the packet is yet another clean audit, not in the printed version, but in the version you guys all received electronically, is another clean audit for 23-24. So special thanks to accountant Dana Morey for all her work on both the accounting and working with the auditors on that. Staffing has been a little bit challenging. Our animal services coordinator position to oversee the volunteer program remains vacant. We won't be able to open that until after we have a meeting with SEIU. That's tentatively scheduled for June 17th or possibly 18th. We haven't gotten a confirmation on a date yet. We have completed interviews and made offers to two full-time and one extra help animal care worker to fill vacancies in that unit, and we're going to be onboarding those folks in coming weeks. I just got notification of two of them getting approved for onboarding today. One animal health specialist is also going to be leaving us this month, so we're scheduling interviews with candidates for that position. We did complete one round of interviews for the assistant departmental administrative analyst position, somebody who will hopefully sit in the chair that David's occupying right now. We hope to make a selection and offer after second interviews later this week. We still have a substitute animal control officer position vacant. We have been asked to hold on filling that until after the end of June. We might assign that position to more administrative duties related to developing and implementing the animal facilities inspection and licensing program. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes, as well as doing more patrols, pet licensing, and serving as a backup for our dispatcher. So that's something that we are trying to work through. Let's see, you can click to the next slide. So on the good news front, and you can click a couple more times, we conducted two more healthy pets for all vaccine clinics. We served a total of 120 families and 82 pets. The next Healthy Pets for All event will be Friday, June 27th at the VFW post across 7th Street from the shelter. And then we are going to take a break in July, but then we'll have another clinic in August in Watsonville. So those have been very popular and really are helping with our, we haven't seen any parvo cases, I should knock wood. We haven't seen parvo and distemper cases in quite a while now. So I think those vaccine clinics are helping quite a bit. Our May Animal Balance Planned Parenthood spay-neuter clinic went very smoothly. We had 196 surgeries completed. It was slightly less than the goal of 200, which always bums out the Animal Balance clinic staff. But that was because we had so many dog spays, which take the most time to get completed. The next clinic that we're going to hold will be in November, and then we are evaluating whether or not we're going to continue and do this next year with Animal Balance, or whether we're going to try to develop some local alternative to having Animal Balance come in. But we know that there's a lot of need out there. We also know that just from the numbers, the intake numbers, we're starting to see some decline, some decreases in the numbers. So I'm hopeful right now. Again, it's early in kitten season, it's early in the summer season, but I'm not gonna hold my breath, but I am feeling a little bit good about how patterns are starting to emerge that seem to indicate we have a few fewer animals on our way to us. You can click again. Animal control intervened in a few more cases of neglected dogs, and neglected dogs. And we had another dangerously matted small dog. This is Sydney, pictured here. Once we had her sedated and got her groomed, we discovered that she had three fish hooks, like large fish hooks, embedded in her fur and close to her skin and causing injury. So that was pretty shocking. Not sure how those got there, but she has been, we've since found her placement, so she's doing better now. Officers and the shelter continue to be closely involved in the lives of several houseless individuals in North and South County. This period, we assisted one longtime medically fragile person to get placed into assisted living by taking two of his three dogs and finding placement for them. Well, we're still working on placement for the second one. And then we also arranged for his third dog to be placed in foster care with Peace of Mind Rescue. Officers also seized an elderly dog with terminal cancer from a houseless person that was having a really struggling with the idea that she was near the end of her life. But we just resolved that case with an emotional owner present euthanasia. The staff did an amazing job of working with her. And we also appreciate the work of the Salvation Army at the Armory, who worked closely with her to help support her through that difficult transition. Animal Control also did some very hard work extracting a flock of 27 hens and roosters from an intricate caging complex. Those are a couple pictures there. These were not part of a cockfighting case. They were just, the birds had been abandoned, and the coops were very difficult, so the staff, the officers spent quite a bit of time crawling around in the dust to get all those birds. All the hens from that case have since been adopted. We've got a few roosters left. Regarding the Animal Facilities Licensing Program, in April, you all requested that we evaluate whether the program would potentially fund a half-time ACO position. Our initial online research has found that there are between 38 and 45 facilities in unincorporated Santa Cruz County that would require licensing under the current ordinance as it's written, with the annual license fee set at $298, which is what it was before. That would result in somewhere between $11,300 and $13,400 in revenue. If we use the figures from the county's 25-26 budget submission tool, a halftime ACO at a mid-range step would be an additional expenditure of at least $64,000. So it doesn't really come close to covering that. I think if we can activate that program and really get it rolling, we will definitely see more income from that program than was seen when it was under environmental health, because they actually only passed along six facilities that they were licensing on a regular basis. And like I said, our initial research showed that we have between 38 and 45 facilities. It's a little tough to tell with online research of these types of facilities because some are very small mom and pop organizations and they may or may not have ceased operations, and they're still appearing on in online searches. So we'll continue to work on that. And again, that might be a way that, that might be something that we will direct our, that last ACO position to once we can fill that position. You can advance that one more time. With regard to facilities, we did have a section of plaster come down from the ceiling in the back room of the annex. We're going to have that repaired, but it is kind of a symptom of the larger structural issues with that aged building, including some leaks in the roof and signs that we have either termites or carpenter ants in portions of the building. The family of a longtime wonderful volunteer, Pat Schallenberger, generously donated a bank of overflow caging for the cats and kittens in honor of her birthday, which was great. And another volunteer has been engineering and installing some acrylic privacy panels on the dog kennels in the Santa Cruz shelter to help the dogs feel a little safer and calmer because they won't have to see all of the dogs going past their kennels. So that's what you see in that top right picture. We also did get started in early April dismantling the old quarantine kennels, what they call the quarantine kennels at the Watsonville shelter that had wooden fencing as part of the kennel, which is of course not disinfectable. So we started dismantling that and we are starting to turn that little shed structure into a more functional storage shed for the Watsonville shelter. We have completed the permitting process for the planned storage container and paving and fencing plans, and we're just waiting for a final approval from the city of Watsonville to take the next steps on that project. And then, as you hopefully noticed in the recommended budget or in the written report, we have planned to go ahead with making a switch for the wiring of the HVAC system at the Santa Cruz shelter. We need to switch it from an electronic control system to a thermostat-controlled manual system. It was state-of-the-art when it was installed in 2008, but it is no longer state-of-the-art, and now not even the HVAC technicians can access the controls for the HVAC system. So it was about 82 degrees in my office as I was preparing this packet, and I have no way to control that. And in the clinic, it's been very chilly most days. It's sort of set at the highest level for when they're doing surgeries, but it stays at about 64 degrees most of the time in there, and we have no way to access it. So we need to go ahead and make that that adjustment. That will put us in a good position for when we inevitably have to replace the entire HVAC system in the next probably 5 to 10 years at the Santa Cruz shelter. It's a little less less advanced or less techy, if you will, but hopefully easier to maintain over the long run. And then just a couple of events to watch out for. We have, we're doing a cool new event called Cats on Mats, where we'll do kitten yoga at the Capitola Mall at the Jazzercise facility. And then we're going to do another one of those in July. The one for June is sold out, but we're going to do another one in July, hopefully, when we have more kittens. And then we're also planning a Kitty Palooza event for sometime in July, where we'll have no-fee adoptions for cats. We also did just do a big adoption special on this last Saturday, and we adopted 40, I've gotten mixed reports, either 41 or 42 animals went home just on Saturday. So that was a great event. And I think that's all.
Thank you. All right, we will move on to 6.2. Authorize an update to approval of claims policy 320. Have a chance to look at that.
But that should be page 73, and that is sort of a holdover from the April meeting. If you recall, we approved, or the board approved, a change to the purchasing policy to increase the limit to $20,000, items over $20,000. This does the same thing for logging that as part of our, yeah, now I can't even remember. but it's basically just an administrative policy that follows with that adjustment to the policy. And it should be, why am I not logging it?
All right, so there's a previous recommended action.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, so this is policy and procedure number 320, and that assures that the governing JPA board has the opportunity to review purchases under the purchasing limit that was revised at the April 14th meeting. So we have, the Santa Cruz County has increased the amount that executive personnel are authorized to spend without board approval, and the already approved and this recommended revision align with the county's revised purchasing limits while still ensuring purchasing oversight by the board. So essentially this just raises the lower limit from $10,000 to $20,000 that we will provide. So every quarter we provide, I forgot to review this before this morning, so it's not fresh in my mind. Each quarter we provide the board with that long listing of all of the expenses that are under $10,000. This will change it, so it will be all expenses under $20,000. So you have an opportunity to review those expenditures on a quarterly basis. So that's what this change, policy number 320 does. It's on page 74 and 75.
We have a motion to authorize this updated approval policy.
I'll move approval of the policy.
Okay.
Also.
Second. Yes, sir.
There's no public comment on this?
Yeah, there should be public comment.
Is there any public comment on this? Are two members of the public? Welcome. Thank you. All right, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none? All right, 6.3, consider and approve general manager's recommendation for the fiscal year budget 2025 to
26.
Any comments from the board?
Wonder, does Amber
want to
give an overview?
Amber, do you want to give an overview?
If I can find it, I will.
I love your efficiency.
Yeah, let's go.
We had to explain this budget during our to our finance committee, and it was.
How'd it go?
It was rough. Yeah, they just don't really understand what it all means, but those of us that have been around for a while know that we can't house animals, you know, on patrol. So we know how we got here.
Yeah.
With the partnership with ASA.
Right, right. So the staff recommendation is to approve at least a 10% increase to member contributions. This budget proposal also includes, it still requires a substantial reserve and or donation funds to offset our structural deficit. If a 10% or more increase is approved, then that will just reduce the amount that we have to pull from the reserve or donations in order to deal with that deficit. I kept my recommendation at 10% simply because I recognize that that I know that all of the members are also facing a lot of uncertainty at this time, and I do want to acknowledge that the animal shelter may not be the highest priority that our jurisdictions are facing. You know, I know that there are some cuts that have to be considered, and the realities are kind of stark in some cases. So out of respect for that, I just wanted to recommend at least a 10%, and then y'all can hopefully have given that some consideration about what your organization can actually bear. So each of these proposals, so we did provide the 10%, 12.5%, and 15% increases and what each of those would look like. They all represent status quo levels of staffing and services. And it does still include the use of unrestricted reserve balance funds to cover the increased net costs. So largely because of unanticipated salary savings that we had early in the year, and then again just in the last few months with a couple of vacancies that have just developed, the estimated actuals for FY24-25 now actually reflect a surplus of $36,374. And so that means that we won't have to draw down the reserve balance quite as much as we had anticipated with the adjusted budget, which is great. We also did receive a very large trust this year, $375,000 trust, and so that also sort of inflates the donation budget a little bit, and we don't expect, we can't expect that next year to help us cover costs. So our structural deficit does remain in this recommended budget. Alternatives to operating with a structural deficit and applying reserve funds to the balance, to balance the budget, would be reductions in shelter staffing, reductions in the costly but, as we know, high impact services to the community, like the subsidized spay neuter surgeries, and or increasing fees. Staffing reductions pretty directly results in increased euthanasia, reduced morale, staff burnout, and staff retention difficulties. Reduction in spay neuter results in increased animal homelessness and therefore increased intake at the shelter, which sort of circles back to those other issues. And then fee increases can lead to decreased live outcomes because people then decide not to reclaim their animals or decide not to adopt animals, and that can also lead to some community disfavor. So those, none of those are recommended. Under the recommended 10% increase in member contributions, we would end up with $470,850 in reserve funds that would still be required to balance the budget. That's $68,000 increase in the structural deficit over the 24-25 budget. So of course, if you opted for a 12.5% increase or a 15% increase, that would be, we wouldn't have to draw down the reserves quite as much. So a larger increase in contributions would of course be more beneficial to that bottom line. Salaries and benefits are based on reports that are provided by the county, by county personnel. There will be an increase in about $83,000 in salaries and benefits due to over the 24-25 budget, mainly from insurance and benefits increases and workers' comp insurance increases, which have been pretty substantial. And also we have the negotiated pay increases for the SEIU employees. We should also note that Middle Managers Association is starting into negotiations with the county, so that will also have some budgetary impacts either in the middle of next year or in the next fiscal year. Services and supplies are budgeted to increase a little bit. They have flattened out a little bit, which is good. Hopefully, you know, it's a little tough to estimate right now what the market's really going to look like. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some other highlights here. Yeah, so we've attached all of the exhibits, the schedule of the member contributions. I'm not sure if anybody has any questions about how that works. And then also that we've supplied the member data by jurisdiction from the last year, for the last several years actually. That's where we get our equation for figuring out member contributions. And again, we have kept personnel at the same rate of 31 full-time employees. And we did adjust the administrative officer to position down to an assistant departmental administrative analyst position. We have four positions that remain unfunded at this point. And then the final exhibits are the fee structures. And as I said, the fees are remaining the same except for the addition of the $298 animal facilities inspection fee. So that's sort of the only change to the fee schedule, and that's just to the county schedule.
Right, thank you. Do we have any comment, Dan?
Do you want to
discuss?
Questions? I think, I know you provided Exhibit B to each of the board members ahead of time, just so we could talk with our financial folks about it. I didn't see it in the packet, so you might want to or at least the one I printed, unless I'm missing a page. So you might want to add that too when you repost, Amber. But hopefully everyone's had a chance to talk with their financial folks. And I'm interested in hearing from the cities just because I know that everyone's in a financial predicament. But here at the county, I mean, I think we could go with either 10 or 12.5%, depending on what folks wanted to do.
That's actually what I was going to say. Scott's always good with the 12. You've been in a structural deficit ever since we didn't do any increases during the COVID year, and it seems like that's been a financial burden for the last 5 years at this point. And it's time to get us kind of right-sized again.
And for Watsonville, we'd like to go with a 10.
I went high and went with the 15, thinking that that's where we were going. So 10 or 12 is fine, we can support it.
And Santa Cruz is not a
pull button.
Santa Cruz would be comfortable with a 10%. Beyond that, it'd be for the stretch, as much as we'd like to help.
Maybe go to public comment.
Yeah, any public comment on this? Yes, sir.
Thank you. Gary Vincomo, I'm a member of the board of the foundation, Shelter Foundation. And I just want a couple of quick things. I've been on board only relatively short period of time, about 18 months now. And I've been coming to these meetings during that period of time. And in advance of this particular meeting, I did go back on past minutes and agendas. And one of the consistent operational challenges that I've seen from the shelters, this issue of staffing and retention. I mean, it's consistently in the reports that come to this board. And I would just ask, as you consider your decisions on budget and understand everybody's fighting for ever-increasing dollars or decreasing dollars in this county, I get that. But did you do consider the structural deficit that the shelter is operated under? By design, and I would argue that there's a direct correlation between these issues of staffing and retention and anything that we can do to address the compensation and benefits. And quite frankly, I'd just like to see the staffing retention issues get off of these reports at some point. But so thank you very much.
Thank you. Seeing no other public comment. Do we have a motion to consider the budget increase of, we were given the option of 10, 12, and 15, majority on 10% increase?
I'll make a motion that we move forward with the 10%.
Second.
Second. I'll just note before we vote, I mean, I agree with Scotts Valley. We should continue to try and work on increasing member contributions. I mean, the mistake now looking back that we made was maybe cutting them so much during COVID, and that put them in a really bad place. So I'm okay with the 10% given everything that's going on, but hopefully we can. I know we had some years where they had 0% or very small, and a lot of our GPAs, maybe some of our other GPAs, didn't always necessarily experience that like the shelters. So hopefully we can just continue to make progress in future years.
But do you want to make a comment?
They were off the bonus.
What's that?
12.5 should have been the floor. Or 15, and I guess whatever was going to be 12.5. But at this point, we're at 10, and we're going to be dealing with this yet again next fiscal year.
Okay, so it sounds like we are apprehensively settling on 10, knowing that we'll come back to this next year and carry forward these comments. I think that Chief Wobble and Nicole have some historical knowledge carrying forward that would be good to talk about again before we, as we head into the next budget cycle. So people, as we go back and speak to our city managers, there's a full understanding of the fact that we're playing catch up. So, all in favor of 10%?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. 10 it is. With that, that really brings us to the end. Because my screen isn't moving.
Oh, I don't know if it, that was it. Oh, it's still stuck? Like yours is not doing what ours is doing?
No. We're good. All right. Thank you. That'll bring this meeting to a close at 11:40. Thank you.
Thank you.